Hello and welcome to the Magical Midlife Podcast, where you get a refreshing, uplifting and optimistic perspective on life in your 40s and 50s. I'm your host, Lindsay DeSwart, and I'm delighted that you've joined us here today. So let's jump right in. So Emily, hi there. How are you doing today?
I'm really excited to be here and to talk with you. We've kind of been talking about doing this episode for a little while, haven't we? So it's been nice to come together and have this amazing, amazing chat today.
It really is. So just to introduce you or introduce how I found you on LinkedIn and I loved the messages that you were sharing and how you were sharing it and the energy that came through. So that's when I tippity-tap reached out and went, okay, Emily, will you be back in my... back in the relaunch of the Magical Midlife. So I'm really excited that we can do this today. Thank you.
Oh, so welcome. Honestly, it's amazing to actually have this opportunity to sit and talk about these subjects that I feel that we all need to, you know, share more on, more insight on. And isn't social media amazing? The power of bringing us together and connecting in that way. I just think it's so special.
I know it does. So many people bash it, but at the end of the day, if you use it wisely, it's an absolute gift.
Yeah, I have to agree.
Cool. So what I would love to talk to you about is obviously with our the midlife audience that we have on this podcast, hormones, weight gain, dieting, exercise, all of these things are hot topics. And it's a really crazy time because everybody's saying you need to do this. And then you'll read something goes, but whatever you do, don't do that. And you get so much conflicting information and you can be so down on yourself. Your body's going through like this major change. And the only way I describe it is like, it's as if your body's kind of been inhabited by some alien and all of a sudden your body starts doing really weird things. And you're like, but that never used to be an issue. How is this a problem? And I love the approach that I've seen from the stuff that you've put out, because it makes it so approachable and so doable and so just like normal and down to earth. So can you, first of all, can you share a little bit about your story and how you got to do what you're doing now?
Yeah, absolutely. Because the question is, you know, I'm sat here 30 years old and we're talking about midlife. So it's like, how is this relate? Like, how is Emily, how can she relate to this? But my truth is I was obese as a teenager. And I used food as a coping strategy for feeling happy and feeling sad. And I got to the point where I was in my early 20s and, you know, I was the biggest I'd ever been. I was doing pretty well in my corporate career, but I was feeling deeply miserable when I was leaving my work at the end of the day. You know, I didn't want to go out and socialize. I didn't want to go and date. And it got to the point where I was in front of a load of customers. I bent down, I picked up some files from the floor and my trousers ripped from front to back, full seam. Yeah.
Mortifying.
Mortifying. And I just had to stand there, like just freeze, because I stood back up and then I just kind of froze and then kind of looked around me and one of my colleagues went and grabbed a coat and brought it over to me and wrapped it around me. And I sort of waddle out of the room, you know, feeling deeply embarrassed. And at this point, I think I lived maybe about 30 minutes from where I worked. So I was in the car driving home, having to go and get a change of clothes, driving back. And I just remember thinking, right, enough is enough. Now, obviously, I typically done every mainstream diet you can think of. I also had PCOS, which I found out about when I was about 15.
What's that?
A polycystic ovary syndrome. Yeah. So,
lovely, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. So at that point, you know, when I got diagnosed with PCOS, it was that's what you've got. You're always going to struggle with your weight. Here's some metformin and off you go. That's all we can do for you. I never really got taught what PCOS actually meant for my body.
Yeah.
I just got told this messaging around weight loss will always be difficult for you, which meant that sunk in and I believed into that. So, you know, when I was trying all of these diets, nothing was really working. I would self-sabotage myself. And yeah, when on that day when my trousers ripped, that was my moment of like, I've got to make a change. So what did I do? I basically really pulled back my eating and started barely eating anything really.
Right.
And I got a coach and this coach told me to, you know, it makes me uncomfortable to talk about it, but really empowered to talk about it. Mm. In the sense of when I look at what I was supposed to be eating on that plan, it is literally a starvation diet that is depleting my body and isn't giving me the nutrients my body needs. And my poor little hormones were in, like, what are you doing to me? You know? Anyway, so started following this plan and I did start to lose weight aggressively, quickly. Mm. To the point that my boss pulled me into the office and said, we're a bit concerned because you seem to be daydreaming all the time. Like, you're not really with it. Like, I couldn't remember some really basic detail about something I'd done the day before at work. Wow. I think from a caring, nurturing perspective, my boss, she's like, is everything okay? Mm. And then I think because I started to see my body change, bearing in mind I've desired this for a long time, mm. I was like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. I'm doing all the right things here. And then the truth is things got completely out of control. You know, I continued to lose. Then I thought, you know what? I'm going to take a break from the corporate world and I'm going to go and compete in bikini bodybuilding.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, so wow. You went right there. Right. Okay.
I went right there. I went from being the biggest woman in the group to determined to stand up with all these lean women and fit in.
Yeah.
I just wanted to fit in. That was, yeah. that was my desire, you know, my dream. So I thought, you know, I was destined for this. Brilliant. And the goal was I was going to do one show. And yeah. my poor mum, she's a nurse, and she watched me disappear, you know, and I got to the point wow. where I was incredibly low body fat, you know, very unhealthy, lost mm-hmm. my cycles. Anyway, I got to my first show and I started placing. And then before you know it, Emily's 3 years in competing world, got to British level. But from the outside, you know, people saw abs and they saw, you know, glitz and glam. And on the inside, disordered eating, you know, addiction to exercise,
mm-hmm.
no libido, no mm-hmm. periods, sore joints. It was all very complicated internally.
So it actually sounds like menopause, which is what's so funny. And that's why we're speaking. Because it's,
yes.
So, the symptoms show up the same way.
Exactly. So how incredible is this? So I get to the British, my last ever show.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness I met my partner, who's now my husband, about 8 weeks before this show.
Right.
And I remember standing there and you have to hold these poses on the stage. And yeah. I remember holding this back pose and turning round, and I just see this row of like 10 men that are sort of the same age as my dad scoring how good my bum looks compared to another woman's. And I'm thinking, Emily, what are you doing? You have a man in the audience that deeply loves you.
Mm.
You've got a mum who's beside herself because you're in such a bad way. And it's going against all her, you know, her motherly compass right now to see her daughter go through this. And I decided, you know, I can't do this anymore. Although I thought I loved it. It was like this really weird dynamic of I loved it because it made me feel good when people were like, you look amazing, because my whole life I got bullied. I was always the biggest one, you know, so I desired that. But I was deeply in a pickle and I was really unhealthy. Mm-hmm. So got off the stage and it was time to sort this hot mess out, really. But at that point, the damage was done in the sense of, I had really bad disordered eating. So I ended up in the Priory. And then from a physiological perspective, found out that basically my estrogen was post-menopausal level. So my estrogen was that level. So at that point, being sat there going, yeah, you're post-menopausal, you need to go on HRT. You also have an underactive thyroid now, so hypothyroidism. And to sit there and be like, okay, I've done this to myself and I had no idea I was doing this to myself. Mm. And I had coaches that were programming me and no one said anything about the fact that I could, you know, really compromise my health. And it's on me because I decided and I made those actions, but it created a huge alarm bell to say like, okay, so if eating less and moving more can lead to disordered eating and serious health implications that can affect your ability to have a baby, we need to start talking about this. And you know, it's not a regulated industry. Mm. And we need to address this because for me, you know, even to this day, because of those choices I made, I have a very sensitive reproductive system, and I haven't, you know, we don't know what the future will bring for me and my husband, but it's up for debate in the sense of like how things will be when we do want to start conceiving. And for me, you know, and just to be very open and honest, and I feel like this is a platform where you can do that, but being sort of 23 and explaining to your partner like why nothing's really working downstairs, like, how do you explain that, you know, when you're in this new relationship and you're like, yeah, it's not you, I'm really like really attracted to you, but like nothing's really working there, and this is all very peculiar. And yeah, I would just remember being in that position and going, oh my goodness, like this is crazy. And that doesn't even cover how you feel when you get out of bed and your joints are sore, or everything just feels really gray and really flat, and you're like, I can't seem to create any elevation in my mood over anything right now. And yeah, that's why I ended up going on to HRT, because I was very much team, I don't want synthetic hormone, I need to figure this out, you know, I need to fix this myself. And I'm early 20s, why am I going on HRT? This is silly. But I had to have the HRT to give me that initial boost to come out of this funk that I was feeling when it came to my mental well-being and things like that. And actually, HRT had a really positive impact on me. I personally am team HRT now. And yeah, so it was a really interesting journey, and it led me to gone through this big shift in weight loss. So I'd lost a lot of weight. And then obviously the hard work was actually getting to that middle ground of not being obese Emily and not being underweight Emily, but finding that middle healthy ground of
being Emily.
Totally, right? Being Emily. But I, you know, there's been a few different Emilys available. So.
And there always will be. And that's the thing. There are many that you can choose.
Yeah.
So in your journey, learning about the hormones and learning about how much they'd affected your outer appearance, how did that journey start? Because for me, it's an absolute minefield. Once you start going down the hormone route, I mean, you could never be educated on it as much as you need to be, as far as I can see.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a really, really great question. And I think, firstly, we put a lot of expectation on ourselves to understand how the body works, how hormones work, and how they contribute to your weight management. But like you said, it is complex, and it actually requires an expert. Now, I had to study it, but it was my sole focus, and it is my, you know, it's my expertise, it's my career. Same with like the coaches in my team, like that's all we do, that's all we live and breathe every day. And because it's always a developing subject where we're receiving new research, new white papers, and it's our job to always continue to maintain an education that is equivalent to, you know, what we found out in today's world, and things are always changing. But number one, you are putting a lot of pressure on yourself if you're like, I need to figure this all out myself, which is why I am a really firm believer that it's always worth a conversation with an expert that really does understand and has the time to go and do the research. I mean, just recently, there's been some huge claims about intermittent fasting. Now, my sister's got a PhD in cellular level. So she studies stem cell research, and there was a lot of claims about the positive impacts of intermittent fasting. And me and her, we were literally looking at opposing papers, like swinging off each other, going like, okay, well, this says this and this says this. And it does show you that it's a conflicting, it can be a very conflicting world. But we spent 2 weeks doing that and came to a positive outcome. But, you know, that's what a client actually reached out to me and said, this is why I invested into your program, because you guys are there doing the work. So one thing I would say is there's definitely some generalized advice that really does work, broad advice that works for us as general public, but we are all very unique and different. Therefore, if you came in to my program and you looked at all the women that we support who are going through perimenopause, intermenopause, none of their programs look identical.
Yeah, and you know what? That is so fascinating to me. I mean, just earlier when you said, you know, I'm team HRT, and I just thought, I'm team, you've got to do whatever works for you.
Yes.
Because I know people on HRT, both my sisters are on HRT, I am personally not, because I've chosen not to. But because of all the research I've done, the one thing that just keeps standing out to me is it is such a personal journey.
Yes.
And what works for one person might be the absolute devil for another.
Absolutely. So when you're considering what you need as an individual, there's a lots of different areas that you need to think about, because number one, your past dieting history.
Right.
Second one is your relationship with your body and food.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one, you know, where are you at in your cyclical stage of life? But I think what tends to happen is, so let's create an example on that one. So say that, let's use intermittent fasting, right? So okay. there's been some great, you know, suggestions and claims about intermittent fasting being great for women in perimenopause. Now, that's all well and good, but if you are somebody that has a emotional connection to food and you've never really been able to create a holistic routine with food that feels good, then we decide to do intermittent fasting. We implement all these rules of when you can eat. And you've then got to sit with these, you know, hunger pangs. And then you're allowed to eat in that window, but you force feed too much in because you don't have this smooth, holistic relationship with food.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be the right fit, because all it's going to do is probably create more issues with food, because we're creating more restriction and more rules.
Yep.
Now, for somebody that has a detached relationship with food, in the sense of they see food as fuel, they can take it and leave it, and you know, it's not something they utilize to be able to manage their emotions, then maybe you can use something a bit more strategic, a bit more science-based, because they don't have that emotional connection. Mm-hmm. But it's about being able to study you as an individual person, not just the physiology of what's going on inside your body, but also what's gone on in your mind, and how has your journey been with your relationship with your body and food. Mm-hmm. Because doesn't matter if how much weight you lose, if you don't look in the mirror and feel good about yourself or feel at peace with food and feel joyful around food, then that's going to cause a lot of stress on the body.
I was going to say, that's a whole ongoing issue, isn't it?
Yes. And it's very easy in the weight loss industry to look at the simplistic fact of, you know, well, if you eat less and move more, you'll lose weight. And, you know, I can help you lose 20 pounds in 90 days and let's go. But that's not really what we all want. I don't believe that's what we all just want, to feel good in our body. It's very simple. We all just want to look, feel good in our body. But to achieve that, we can't just look at the practicals of like a diet plan or a workout. We've got to look at you as a holistic person.
Yeah.
And we all know it starts from the mind, and then, you know, the results come from there.
Yeah. I mean, I found it really fascinating, because as you look into the whole thing with hormones, there's your cortisol levels, and there is how many other stress factors within your life actually affect that. And that was one of the reasons, because obviously I thought, well, hold on, you know, Emily's not menopausal. However, you're talking about hormones and diet, because I still think people don't need to just listen to menopause stuff. Because there are so many other symptoms that come out, and it's may actually just be like, it's stress related, and that in itself needs dealing with. And it might not be that you can just run and get HRT, because if your whole lifestyle is actually just like a stress ball, then you can take all the replacements and help you like, unless you change your lifestyle, then where are you?
We have to focus in on the biggest levers, the levers that really do create the change that you want to see.
Yeah, okay.
And that's a great example where HRT, you know, it may support you in your journey, but if we haven't got the basic fundamentals with your basic self-care, and that is your food, that is your movement, that is your stress management, that's your sleep, that's your digestion. If we haven't got that, like those are the biggest needle movers. And what we want to do is focus on those, but the problem is that we might look at the supplements and the things like that, because they're easy for us to be able to get excited about and to be able to do. It's easy to take two pills a day, like it's easy to swallow that pill, whereas when we think about nutrition and exercise, it's like this onset overwhelm that just like falls on top of you. Now I've made it my mission that what I want to do, and what I'm hoping that I'm doing, is trying to ease that overwhelm and show you how fun and enjoyable this process can be, and how you know, refreshing it can be to actually go back to the fundamentals and nail those, and how enjoyable it can be to go through that process. Cortisol is a fantastic example, and it's about focusing on, yes, reducing your exposure to cortisol, but we live in it. We can't help the world we live in. You know, you can't help the fact that your mortgage might be going up this year. You can't help the fact that maybe your teenager's going through a bit of a difficult time and you're trying to manage the external influences that you can't manage. So we don't always have full control of how much stress exposure we're going to have, but what we can do is support your body to metabolize stress hormones and bring you back into rest and recovery. And to do that, that's where we want to look at nutrition, exercise, sleep quality, right, digestion. So it's kind of looking at both sides of the coin, really, mm-hmm. and going, like, how can we reduce what's coming in, but how can we also give you more resilience to manage these stress levels? Because if we're staying in this heightened fight and flight for, you know, lengthened amount of time, then it makes it incredibly difficult to actually get by day-to-day life and you know, remain positive, remain energized. You know, it really has a profound impact on every area of your life, really, when you're constantly exposed to high levels of stress. And that was basically the reason why I ended up with postmenopausal estrogen levels from constant right. exposure of stress hormones. So I was what was happening was I was producing normal to high amount of cortisol, but my body wasn't metabolizing the cortisol. Therefore, I was constantly running with elevated levels of cortisol.
Okay.
And that's what then led for my estrogen to reduce. So yeah, it's about being able to understand this. It's about being able to understand how everything's connected, right, inside yeah. the body. And then being able to go, right, how can we optimize this, and how you are a little beautiful ecosystem, and how can we get everything rocking and rolling and working together.
Yeah, fantastic. So how do you how do you work with women, or how do you work with men and women?
No, we just work with women.
Okay, so how would that process start when you and you know, it's so that people can actually educate themselves enough to say, who do I want to go to for support?
Oh, yes.
Or can I manage it myself? Or yeah. where would you even start with them? Or where do you suggest they start?
Yeah, that's a really fantastic question. So I would first start to build a diary of how you are feeling.
Right. Okay.
I would take maybe 2 weeks of tuning in, just committing to yourself every day. You're going to give yourself 2 minutes at the end of the day to just tune in and do a bit of a diary of how you felt through mood, energy, and hunger. So right. I would look at those cues. And then I think it just gives you a bit of time to tune into your body and go, and your mind, and go, like, where am I at and what do I need? Like, do I want help? Do I need help? You know, am I ready to accept help? And I think once you've taken a couple of weeks, you might be able to pick up on some trends of, you know, where you're feeling tired, where you're feeling hungry. And then the next point would be to look at those holistic measures. So, you know, taking a look at that nutrition, like, how have I been with my nutrition? And, you know, do I feel that I am looking after my body and nourishing my body? Now, from my perspective, we sometimes go, well, I'm eating healthy and I'm, you know, I'm doing all the things and I'm eating healthy. Why am I not seeing success? Now, when we get to audit, there are some healthy foods in there, but there's so much to optimize. You know, I don't think we've ever had a woman come through that's literally had on paper perfect nutrition that doesn't
yeah. optimizing. Does that even exist?
Well, yeah, well, this is the thing though, it's about being able to actually go, because a great example might be, okay, well, I've gone on this, we had a client that gone on a program, and they had her eating asparagus and tomatoes as an evening meal that was supposed to be family friendly, and a teenager of 16 was like, I'm not eating this.
Yeah,
and I was like, well, I wouldn't be eating it either. So this is the problem when you've got, maybe you've read a lot of Google and suddenly it's like, you must eat protein. So then the poor woman goes, right, I'm all in on protein. But then you look at her nutritional intakes over a 7-day period, and she hasn't got anywhere enough fats and the right type of fats into her diet, which is pivotal, especially through this stage of your cyclical, you know, right. journey. But she thinks she's doing the right, because she's read that protein was really important. Mm. So normally, yeah, I would say that there is always space to improve on what's going in Definitely, definitely. I think as well, being open to reach out to, I love to share this, reach out to experts and ask them, just ask them if they'll have a conversation with you. Now, my opinion on this is, if you are in the industry and you're good at what you do, you will always have space and time to have conversations with people. Mm-hmm. If you reach out to an expert and they're just pushing you to, like, I don't know, like a website or they're an application form, or here's the link, go and buy my program, and they're not willing to have a sufficient conversation with you, like, that's a big red flag in my mind. Us experts, that's our, you know, we are here to be able to have conversations and support and guide. So I would just say that if you're not feeling 100% in yourself, and you're doing a bit of a log, and you're identifying that you're feeling these symptoms of, you know, issues with hunger, fatigue, things like that, then there is plenty of space to optimize. It's hard to put a finger on, because some women are not doing enough exercise, while some women are doing too much. And again, it's about being able to go, right, give us what you're doing, and let's see, you know, let's see how we can make this better for you. Definitely, definitely. The other thing I think is interesting to point out as well is thyroid dysfunction is 5 to 8 times more common in women, and about 60% of people with a thyroid dysfunction don't actually know about it. So that's another area that I always say, you know, if you do feel you're doing all the right things, and perhaps you've already had support with your nutrition and exercise, and you really understand energy balance, and, you know, balancing stress hormone, things like that, and you're not seeing results, then it may be worth potentially going to your GP and asking for a thyroid panel, and just giving that a bit of a check. I call it a bit of an MOT, because your thyroid obviously massively contributes to your metabolic rate. So that's just something I always like to share, because it can go quite undiagnosed for, you know, a while for a lot of women.
Mm-hmm. And what about liver health? And the reason I'm asking that is because I recently been working with somebody. Mm. And she actually said, your biggest issue is your liver. Now, I haven't heard of anybody else saying within menopause, it's actually all about the liver.
Interesting. Does she give you more context on why?
She's given me a whole bunch of stuff and a whole bunch of stuff to do, but it's basically a liver detox. And within days, my hot sweats went down.
Yeah, interesting. So I am a firm believer to some degree that the body will detoxify itself. You know, it will do the job and it will do what it needs to do. But there are things that you can do to detoxify. We are meant to sweat, right? We are meant to exercise and sweat. And a lot of us don't. Like, I'm a big fan of the sauna. I will try and sauna at least 3 times a week. And that's something, a love for self-care anyway. Mm-hmm. But there are certain toxins in the body that we can only get rid of through sweat. So you should be detoxifying the body by having great nutrition, and you can do some basic things obviously to implement into your life, which I'm sure you're doing at the moment potentially, to be able to reduce toxins. But yeah, it's not actually an area that I've had a huge amount of expertise in, to be honest. But just the basics of toxins and the impact that has in today's society on women when it comes to hormone function, absolutely. Being able to reduce the things that are obvious, you know, plastics, things like that. But before you know it, you are, you know, you're having to try and live in a bit of a bubble, really, because the reality is we have toxins everywhere. So again, it's easy to get overwhelmed with that, where you're like, there's so many things. So I always say to people, just start gradually with reducing what's around you, you know, things that have contact on your skin. Like, let's try and, like, for instance, deodorant is a great one, where I'm like, you know, you need to think about sourcing the right types of deodorant. And yes, maybe you are a bit more smelly with this deodorant, but it's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, cool. So starting with the food and the mood, food and mood diary, which I think fantastic. And then what about the next step? Then reaching out to an expert, do you think, just to kind of get insights as to what you've found?
Definitely, because then you've got a log, right? And as an expert myself, I love a log. I love a log
to work with, right?
Totally. I'm like, give me what's going on. Come on. Yeah. And then it just gives me oversight to go, okay, I can see where things might be a bit icky or a bit sticky. Mm-hmm. So a log is really, really, really powerful. And it also, inevitably after 2 weeks, you're going to pinpoint some holes yourself, like, definitely. And that will probably give you the drive to either, you know, fix those areas and you feel like you've got that and you know what you need to do, or you reach out to an expert and you can share, you know, your log of what's been going on, and they can give you some really fantastic guidance. I think it's like anything, right? If you're in a position to be able to welcome that expertise into your life, then you can move quicker, and you can also be, you know, receive the education and guidance based on what your body really needs. If you are going to try and fix those gaps and, you know, research and just have your blinkers on and really focus on making sure that you're receiving the right sort of research and actioning the right sort of things, because I am sorry for this, but it is a conflicting industry. Like, the weight loss world is conflicting as anything. And actually, when I create content, especially if I'm creating like a 1 minute video on something, I find it so hard because there is so many different things to consider, but I only have a minute. So I have to really think about, you know, I want to be able to provide this guidance and I want it to be helpful to you, but like, I want it to be relevant. And sometimes that's a bit sticky for me. So I'm a bit known for like really long captions and like long videos because I have to give context.
Yeah, fair enough. Cool. So speaking of that, where can people find you? What sort of social media are you on and how can people access you?
Yeah, absolutely. So LinkedIn is my number one favorite. So you'll find me there. And my name is Emily Deluzzi, which is D-E-L-U-Z-Y. And then my beautiful program and my beautiful team, you'll find us over at www.fitqueen.co.uk. I will say, though, we are currently going through an incredibly exciting time where we are actually renaming the program. We came up with Fit Queen 7 years ago and we are 7 years on now, and the program has really developed and changed. So we wanted to be able to create a new name to represent how incredible the journey is that clients are going through. But like I said today, when I spoke about, you know, having that time to actually get together and have the conversation, you'll see on the website that you'll have the option to book a call, and it's 30 minutes and it's just a call. We call it a virtual coffee, just have a chin wag and to really get to know you, to give you some guidance with no obligation. So you are more than welcome to book in and have that available to you. So get your log done and then you can speak to us there if you'd like to.
Okay, so that's the best way to make the best use of the call, is come with a log.
Yeah, come with all the details. Right. Absolutely, totally. And then we can give you some insight on why we think that you've been stuck and also what could work for you moving forward. And then if you'd like to, we can go through options of working with us if you want to explore that.
Fantastic. Well, I'll put obviously all the links and everything will be under the in the show notes. So that's brilliant. So I'm so pleased we connected. Emily, thank you so much. I just love your very grounded, practical, real view on the whole thing, because it's hugely intimidating, because as you say, there's so much conflict.
Yeah, totally. 100%. And I would have loved to have given you like a 5-part blueprint of how to lose 10 pounds in 10 weeks in the perimenopause. But the reality is the journey looks different for everybody. And it's just making sure that you've got that sort of one-to-one support and following something that really is bespoke to you.
And do you know what's so funny? Just you saying that, it's like, oh no, what is that 5-part then? Oh yeah, it doesn't exist.
I know, it's marketing. It's marketing, honestly.
Hooey. Yeah, indeed. Brilliant. Well, look, thank you so much. I really appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Take care.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you've enjoyed the conversation, please come and leave a review. If you go to the Apple Podcasts app and scroll down to the bottom of the podcast page, and then you'll find the ratings and review section. Please invite your friends to come and listen by sharing the link. And you can join the conversation and let me know who you'd like to hear interviewed and what topics you'd like discussed over at Facebook and the Magical Midlife group. You can also find me on Instagram at Lindsay DeSwart, where the conversation will also continue. I can't wait to see you on the next episode. And once again, keep living your magical midlife.